Tech to Robot Tech. I'm Scouter 75, and we have the most famous Midwest person I know, but from a terrible state, Beskar Snake. How are you? Hey.
Fine.
Can't win them all, right? I'm sorry, I'm joking. Look, it's boring. I'm sorry, it's boring. I don't know how you live your life there. Anyways, how are you? What's been new? I feel like I don't talk to you as much as I do.
That's true. We need to talk outside of this.
Yeah, we never do, ever. Which is kind of good, because that way it saves us for the podcast, because if I DM'd you...
Keep it going.
If I DM'd you now, then you'd be like out of the blue, like, hey, what's up? And you'd be like, yeah, I'm playing this game, and then we don't have a podcast.
That's true. Uh-huh. So what you're saying is we just need to wear microphones 24/7, and that's the podcast.
We just need to just talk less to each other. I think that's okay. That's fine. Literally DM you to see when you're available. Literally DM you the topics once in a while. Depends on how I'm feeling. Or I just roll with it. And, go from there.
It works. It gets the job done.
It's chaotic. That's how we like it here. But yes, if you're new, I'm sorry, I'm rambling. We're talking about, me and Beskar Snake here, talk about video games, video game topics. We have two different gaming styles, so that's why I bring him along once in a while too, because you know what, I don't know anything about everything, so that's why I'm here. So we usually start off by talking about what games we played recently, so would you mind, as usual, starting first?
Yes, I would mind.
Okay.
And, you know, this month, I feel like I didn't really play a whole lot of games. Just had other things going on and all that. Still had a lot of gaming, don't get me wrong. Playing some Ready or Not. still enjoying that game a lot.
I don't know what that one is.
Played just a touch of Backyard Baseball. Scouter said he's going to be talking a little bit more about that. I actually finally got a little bit more of the timing and stuff down. For being on the Steam Deck. So
how did I miss this? Sorry, go on. Sorry, I'm interrupting you. How did I miss this game?
Ready or Not?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good question. I probably should have mentioned it. I don't remember if I did enough.
No, I don't think so.
Because I've been playing it for a little while now. But yeah, I mean,
it kind of reminds me of Payday 2.
It's definitely. It's similar-ish, but it's a lot more similar to the old style Rainbow Six games or SWAT. Those kind of it's a lot more tactical, and there's more of a focus on realism.
Yeah.
I use that with, you know, quotes, because obviously those are very intense situations. But a little bit more, you know, if you just barge into a room without kind of checking or being smart about it or taking precautions, you could get wiped out like that, and you've lost. So yeah, I like the Payday games, don't get me wrong. But I would definitely put those in two different categories, because Payday there's definitely tactics to Payday, hands down. But it's also more focused on the excitement of the, you know, the Hollywood shootout and the, oh, can we get through 200, officers and stuff like that and break out with all the money? Whereas Ready or Not is you want to lean a lot more on the side of being tactical. Like you want to check under the door with a mirror, or you want to maybe kind of like try to somehow peek in the windows, but if you peek in the window and somebody's there, you know, they could take you out. But yeah, you know, I haven't played it multiplayer. It seems like one that when I've watched people play it, it's a lot of fun with other people, but even just the computer, you know, AI it's fine. You know, they're pretty I say they're relatively smart, as long as you control them. relatively smart. So yeah, no, it's a lot of fun, but like I said, it's definitely a more slow-paced game and not just a run in and, you know, oh, you're John Wick, you know, just taking people out, because it a lot of times it doesn't take more than just a few shots to take you out. Now you've lost the level and you've lost all your progress. You got to restart and everything. So yeah, it's a fun one. If for anybody that likes, so I guess a good comparison is if anybody likes racing games, you know, Forza, which was on exclusive to Xbox, but I know, I think Forza 5 or one of them just came to PlayStation, but that's definitely a very solid racing game. But it focuses it's a little more arcadey than it is simulation. Like, don't get me wrong, it's you still have to drive smart and everything, but as opposed to Gran Turismo, where you have to, you know, really use the mechanics of the driving and stuff. I would say that's a decent comparison for Ready or Not to Payday. You just have, like I said, more of that simulation style and with the focus on realism, again with the air quotes. But yeah, it's a good game if you're interested in, don't mind a little bit slower. You know, you're not playing Fortnite. You're not, you know, it's not, oh, you can take 35 shots and just heal up and stuff like that. You definitely have to be more careful for the most part.
I added it to my wish list.
Yes, it goes on sale
Because
decently
it's
often,
very
nothing
expensive.
crazy. Yeah, I did pick it up on sale, and I had some credit too. So, but I've gotten a lot of mileage out of it. I mean, I've got 25.6 hours in it. So, you know, it's not one that generally you want to play for a really long time, because, like I said, it is a little more tactical. So, you know, if I get most of the way through a level and then I get a game over, it's like, okay, I'm gonna move on to something else now. You know, I need something a little less intense. And some of the situations are very, I will say that if that you can kind of get an idea of potentially some of the scenarios that you would be put in. They are they I could definitely see them being too realistic for some people, hands down. So definitely go into it with that caution. Do a little bit of research into it, things like that, because yeah, like I said, some of the scenarios might just be a little too intense, depending. So I would definitely put that little caveat on there. But yeah, it's, hey, I see that you, Scouter715 added Ready or Not to their wish list. Look at that.
Yeah, see, I told
Real
you.
time
I told you I wasn't lying to you.
interactions here. I didn't think it'd pop up on there just
Why would
like
it?
that.
That's weird.
But yeah, no, it like I said, it's a good one. It, you know, do a little bit of research into it before you just dive right in. For anybody else, but yeah, it's I would say it's definitely worth the money. But yeah, moving on. Didn't think I'd get to talk that much about Ready or
No,
Not.
it's
Great
fine.
game.
Go on. What else did you play? I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Oh no, you're good. I you know I hate talking about
I
games.
hate talking about
I
games. Why do
hate,
I come here once a month?
especially games that I enjoy. You know I hate that. Like I said, a little bit of backyard baseball. Finally won a game, getting the timing
Skill
down and
issue.
everything. And the oh, 100%,
Yeah,
absolutely,
like no
100%.
indulgence. I
Not
will.
either, are no arguments from me.
Fair. Now
You
I'm
know,
just kidding.
figuring out the controls on the Steam Deck and figuring out, you know, timing
Again,
and all that,
it probably might be the Steam
100%.
Deck. It might be that.
I,
Try it
you
on like
know,
PC or
yeah, I haven't done it on PC, but I'm sure it wouldn't be that much
any much
better since it's
difference.
been a very long time since it.
Yeah.
And I've gotten so used to more modern baseball games and those mechanics. But of course, played a little bit of, you know, Civilization 7. Great game, as always. A little bit of Microsoft Flight Simulator. I need to play more of that because I still need to go get it. Well, I finally got my flight stick.
Oh, working. I'm jealous. How much was that, out of curiosity?
This one I actually got as a Black Friday deal.
Uh-huh.
It was probably, I want to say, now
40, 30.
It was a little bit more than that, but
no worries.
I wish I could remember, but I think it was around 80.
Fair.
But it's the two piece. It's got, you know, a million different controls to it, you know, customizable, all of that. So I'm definitely excited to dig into some more games. There was an issue with one of the cables, and I just needed to replace it, and I did that, and boom, fires right up. But the game that I thought I'd talk a little bit more about,
yeah,
and it actually kind of ties into today's topic, and I'll sort of kind of get into that a little bit later. But if you follow any sort of gaming news, you've probably seen at least something about it. But Expedition 33, it is absolutely something else. I may not be pronouncing it correctly, but Clair Obscur Expedition 33. I apologize to the developers, the creators, if I am doing a disservice to pronouncing that the right way or not. But the game, I'm not even that far into it, and the game is absolutely fantastic.
You're fantastic.
Thanks.
That's for the comment earlier for the state you live in. So, you know,
the balance, yeah, the balancing, yeah, the seesaw.
Gotta keep you on your toes.
But even the, you know, only being into it a few hours, the things that it does right, it does really right. It looks great. It plays great. A lot of people are saying, even if you don't like turn-based games, you might want to look into this one, because it does some things different. It has...
What was it called again?
If you search Expedition 33, you'll find it, but it's the full name is Clair Obscur Expedition 33. I'm sure there are other games that have used semi-similar mechanics. But again, showing my age here, anybody who's played Legend of Dragoon from way back when on PS1, that where you could do extra damage by timing button presses and things like that, that's in this. The game, it has a dodge mechanic. Even though it's turn-based, you can try to dodge the enemy's attack. Yeah. It has a parrying system, so you can try to parry, and actually, at least in the early game so far, when I've successfully parried an enemy, I've done way more damage. So, I mean, I'm really excited to see. I've been watching a lot of like challenge runners on YouTube and stuff like that, where they'll play like Final Fantasy VII with only one character. You know, they'll get rid of the other characters, or you know, they'll only use space weapons, or they'll only use magic or something like that. I'm really excited to see what that community is going to do with Expedition 33, because there's a lot of really fun mechanics. Like I said, maybe my regular attack will do like 80 damage. Well, a successful difficult parry might do like 700 damage. You know, like I said, I'm early on, so maybe it's rewarding me for just learning the mechanics and trying to deal with that.
Yeah.
But, oh my goodness, like I said, even if you aren't a fan of turn-based games and you've given up on them a long time ago, at least watch somebody play this one just to see how much more interaction there is. Because I know a few people that I've talked to, they have a big issue with, like, oh, turn-based games are so slow, and I just want to get on with the game, and I want it to be... This, you can't... You don't want to just set the controller down. You know, oh, put in your attack, set the controller down, whatever.
Yeah.
No, like I said, you might be able to do more damage with certain attacks. You might be able to either mitigate or completely avoid damage from enemies, or you might be able to even turn that damage around. There was this early on kind of optional enemy to face, and it was pretty tough, but if you take advantage of the parrying mechanic, I was able to beat it, because I was able to not only stop damage that they were doing to me, you know, they were doing one-shotting my characters, turning it around to now I'm doing, not only am I avoiding that damage, but I'm dealing damage back. And yeah, I'm really excited to dig more into it, and even more excited to watch what the challenge community is going to be able to do with that game. Just because, like I said, there's so much fun, so many fun mechanics to it. Heck, when I was playing last night, I learned a new mechanic that they have added that I've never seen in a game before. I won't spoil it for anybody who's interested in playing, but it's just a different way to have the player interact, even when it isn't what you typically think of as a interaction point. But yeah, so anyway, that's my spiel. Great games, all of them. Always play more Metal Gear.
I just added now that game to my wish list. You added two to my wish list in this 17 minutes now of recording. So thanks for that. It's not like I have, what am I at? I'm almost at 100 wish list items. So.
Also, you haven't even started your wish list.
I just literally deleted one as I was adding this one.
I only have 222
Jesus
on my wish list.
Oh my goodness. I thought I was bad with 100, but here we are. Great. Cool. So my turn to maybe add some stuff on the wish list. So Resident Evil 4 I played. I'm just kidding. I tried. Which is true, though. I did play that. I also played Backyard Baseball 97, so let me rant a little bit. I bought it, and I uninstalled it. I'm so sorry. It doesn't have a lot of the players. It doesn't have MLB teams, which I assume probably goes on the realm of probably the original probably had some sort of certification things to do that, because I assume you have to pay copyright or improvements to use the logos and stuff, so probably the original game had that, and that's probably why they don't have that. So you can't create your own. So I was wrong earlier when I thought about it, but yeah, unfortunately it is very hard game. I mean, I played the original and I won like the championship, so like in my case, like I could play it at any time. If I wanted to, I refunded it. If they had it, so I had to select some people I didn't even know what their skills are, what base I should put them in, like all this other stuff. So I returned it because I'd probably end up still picking up like probably Backyard Hockey because of course I do. And Backyard, you know, the ones I don't have. I already have Backyard Soccer, but like Backyard Football, too, I'd probably pick up just to have, because those two, I have Backyard Football that just doesn't work. So, but I'd probably stay away from Backyard Soccer, because, again, it's like I have it, it works, it's fine. I will say, too, did you pick up, is it Oblivion? It's kind of like, that's a recent one. It's kind of Skyrim. Is it Skyrim?
It is the basically. Elder Scrolls game.
Elder Scrolls.
That was actually my first Elder Scrolls game. It was a great game. I loved it.
So did you bought the remake?
I did not. And no. One of the biggest reasons that I didn't is because right now, just alone, there are
this is a crap ton.
Seven. At least seven that I can think of very quickly. Big RPGs.
Yeah.
That I
would rather play. Yeah, yeah.
Not even would rather play, but need to finish.
Yeah. Fair.
Metaphor, ReFantazio, which I talked about last month, which I did play some more of that this month as well. Just picked up Expedition 33, which I want to rip and tear through that game.
Mm-hmm.
I realize that, and a lot of the other ones, or at least a good amount of them, are Final Fantasy games that I either can't remember if I actually did beat them and I don't remember it, or if I didn't actually beat them. Those are massive games, long games that I really want to finish before I buy another game that, I played. I wish I could easily go back and look on PS3 how many hours I put into Oblivion. But it's a lot. I know it was a lot because it was one of, if not the first games that I had ever really sat down and played in that kind of genre, that like first person, huge open world, massive scale RPG game. And I put so many hours into that game just because there's so much to do. And I didn't even scratch the surface for everything you can do in that game. So I would love to play the Oblivion remaster, but I'm actually trying to be somewhat responsible. Ugh, that hurts me. And not, buy that one, because like I said, I'd put 2 hours into it and move on to something else. Not because it would necessarily be a bad game, but just because I'm, trying to start to dig into the backlog, as we all know will never be finished, but without trying to add too much more to that backlog. But yeah, I mean, heck, I would love to play back through Final Fantasy 16, but who knows when I'll ever be able to do that again.
Maybe someday.
Maybe. Hopefully. I really hope so. I'd love to check out the DLC for it too, but.
And I'm going to make you feel older than you already are. Are you ready for this? Roller Coaster Tycoon, the original, came out 25 years ago. So I played that on the 31st. So, because it was the anniversary apparently that day. So, you're welcome.
Which that's kind of funny because.
I think it's 1997 when it was released.
Maybe.
So maybe I'm mathing wrong, but roughly 25 years ish.
It'd be close. Close-ish.
Actually, 2000. That'd make sense. 2000, because it's 2025.
If it was 2000, then yeah, next year would be the 20, or no, this year. Wow, holy cow.
Come on, we can math. Come on. This is why we do podcasts on gaming. Could you imagine us podcasting about maths?
It's freaking, we're...
Sorry.
We're not even in, January, and I just completely forgot that it's 2020.
It's almost May, man.
It's almost May.
Anyways, I'm gonna plug real quick one more thing. Here you could add this one. Spilled. I didn't mention it last podcast because I wasn't. Sometimes WDC doesn't want you to talk about it until it's official. So Spilled now has you. It's a little cute oil cleanup game. It's an indie game. Every purchase from it, every 10 cents. From the purchase goes to WDC, Whale and Dolphin Conservation. It is a short game, I will say that, but it's only $6. It's pretty great. It's a, just a chill vibe, ocean cleanup game. You clean up oil, you clean up plastic, and it's a little tricky, but it's fun. It's a little, it's like, I'd say like an hour and a half game, but really well done. And obviously, again, generous that developer even donates the 10 cents to that's awesome. So every purchase, could you imagine?
Yeah.
WDC gets 10 cents, so. That's awesome.
Added it.
Yeah, there you go. I got one. And everyone should add it. But there is a free demo, so if you're interested, that's what I love about indie games. So yeah. And then I played some Bloodborne and Phasmophobia, which I just played with some friends. It's been a while. So let's get on to our topic. I'm sorry, we're so behind now. We've been half an hour just talking about what games we played last. Oh, and let me, real quick, one more thing. My game that I've created is finally coming out May 1st, Little Sim World. That I've been so excited to
nice.
It's going to come out Thursday, and I'm going to probably play it right away because I need it in my life. So, it's as if you want to go back. It's basically imagine Sims, but it's top down Sims, and you could create like businesses. You could create, and you can go on adventure. And at least that's how I'm understanding it. And you could create your own room or house. But it seems really cool. I'm excited. Maybe it's a city that's generated, so don't get me quoted on that. But at least
quoted timestamp. Right
at least
here.
It seems like you could probably at least create your whole your like own room. But yeah, it's been in early access for a while. But it was going to be early access on the first, but I'm still going to pick it up. I don't care. So yeah, I'm so excited for that. Anyway, so yes, we're going to talk about just you know what I felt. To talk about like what makes a game gorgeous looking, just like you listeners here listening to this. Kidding. I'm not kidding. So like what graphically, like what games and why do you think labels as like the prettiest game and why? Ooh. Just yeah, it stumped you. Already. I gave you warning ahead of time, so you can't.
You didn't say anything about like the best looking and all that. No. That's impossible.
I know.
It's like picking the favorite.
Okay, give me the top like five or so. Like what do you think is like, you know?
Oh, I'll have to think about that.
Okay, do you want me to start?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
so yes. I'm gonna go with like Bloodborne, Elden Ring, all of those. They're 10 years old. They're very gorgeous. Like I just walk into an area and just like, oh, I'm just gonna sink this in while there's enemies still around me. But
make sure to turn the brightness up on your monitor.
God, it's such
so dark.
They're all gorgeous. Yeah, a little bit dark, but that's the point. Like Bloodborne, for instance, is kind of like H.P. Lovecraft, Victorian era. It's supposed to be dark, and obviously some of the creatures, like those are, all of those are amazing. Soulsborne games, all of them are just great. Or Souls-like, they're just, even Another Crab's Adventure is gorgeous. I mean, I pretty much fell in love. The first game I fell in love with being like good looking was Don't Starve. It's just so well done, drawn or Dark Souls. Very just like step in, just beautiful, beautiful. And but very dark as
Yeah. Definitely need to turn the brightness up. Good games, but Can we raise the light just a little bit? I want to be able to see this beautiful world you've created.
But I think that's the point. It's just dark and yeah. Victorian era Lovecraftian. Even like something like Another Crab's Treasure, Blood, similar Souls-like games. Very gorgeous as well. They do a good job. I'd also say like something like any pretty much any indie games, you just got to be simple but good. So like some of the things I mentioned are simple but good, and that's what I can't even really say like Resident Evil 4 or Bioshock Infinite is beautiful far away but close enough. It's you could see little details and it just throws me off. Like you look at the apple
imperfections.
Yeah, like you look at the apple in that game and it's all pixelated. I'm just like, all right. Sea of Thieves, really gorgeous. This is probably the best water you could ever look at in any game. Don't quote me. Don't even show me pictures of games of water. It's just very gorgeous. The stars are gorgeous. Very beautiful game. And I'd say even like something like all these are so good. Dredge is another good one. Third person, you're on a boat. Very beautiful, very dark and eerie. They do a good job. All of these are just indie games, as you can tell, that are just be simple and you could be fine. You'll be fine. You don't have to go all out and be, you know. And some of the Trackmania tracks, I guess. But you don't have to be GTA. You don't have to be detail-oriented to find all these people and stuff. So, like, yeah. Anyways, what do you think? What is yours now? I gave you some examples.
So, obviously, you know, games don't have to look great to be great. You know, I mean, what I say by don't have to look great is, I mean, they don't have to be, like you said, it doesn't have to be, oh, you can see every detail in this mouse. You can see every detail. That helps for a lot of games. Absolutely. As long as a game is building the atmosphere that it's trying to build, it can look great. Talking about atmosphere, Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, I was going to say that, but I was like, I'll give it to you.
I appreciate
that. I knew.
I mean, no, just kidding. That game, oh my goodness. And a lot of that is the attention to detail.
Yeah.
But just the game is absolutely breathtaking.
Yeah.
You know, you it really helps that immersion of, I am this character in this world. You know, I am kind of living in this reality. And along those lines, going also with the more realism aspect, Gran Turismo 7. The game looks great anyway, but I'm lucky enough to own a PSVR 2, and sitting down in the driver's seat of a Lamborghini and looking around at all of the tiny, seeing the stitching, I literally, because I didn't know how interactive it was, when I was looking down in the, like, viewer mode, I reached out to see, can I grab the stick shift? you can't, but it looks like you should be able to.
I mean, sorry to expand on that real quick. I would even say, like, even, like, Euro Truck Simulator. I can't tell you how many times I look over my shoulder in a blind spot. I'm not in a truck and I'm not in a car that I'm literally like, oh, right. Even though they're not 100%. Like graphically, you're just cemented in this reality.
Yep.
Anyways, see, go
that's
on.
That's why you need to get yourself a VR headset, because in Gran Turismo, I can actually look in my mirror to see if there's a car coming up behind me for a turn. I can look in my rear view mirror to see if there's a car behind me. You know, those little touches, those little additions in there. But in other ways, like the Borderlands series, I'm not a big fan of cel shading generally, but those games look great for what they are. It feels like I'm playing in a comic book.
Yeah.
You know, it just...
Tiny Tina's was better IMO, but...
Which one?
Tiny Tina. Oh, I like Tiny Tina's a little bit better. I didn't really sink... I might have mentioned this, but anyways, I didn't really sink my teeth in to those games, but when I played Tiny Tina's, I was like, this is great. Because I think it was more kind of like, it was silly, but still like silly to the extent, like, whereas those other, that it just wasn't fitting, because it's like I'm shooting stuff and like it threw me off. I was just like, yeah,
that's fair.
Anyways, go on.
They're definitely not games for everybody.
It's
that's one that like I would recommend people check out if they're interested, but I also get if it's not your thing. But yeah, that those games, they look great for what they're trying to accomplish, and in my opinion, they accomplish that very well. Journey, that is one of the most beautiful games I've ever played in my life. I know we're talking about visual and everything, but I don't remember if I've told this story in a podcast or not. There are parts in that game where you come across another player. You have zero way to speak to that person. You don't even know who that user is. It's somebody else somewhere in the world that is playing the game. I don't know if it's still operating or not. I haven't played it in a very long time. But there's a part where I came along, and this other... The only thing that you can do, if I remember correctly, is you can press a button and you'll, like, your character will kind of, like, lift up and put a little bit of, like, a ring out. Like, it almost kind of be like a little shout from the character in a way. And if I remember correctly, that's the only way that you could even communicate with somebody else. And you can only both do the same thing. But this other user and I, we were in this intense kind of like boss fight, sort of. We were kind of, if I remember, I know I'm using this phrase a lot, but if I remember correctly, we were kind of being chased or we were riding on something and we had to try to escape, and we finally made it out. And once we made it out, that other character just kind of disappeared. And that's how the game was supposed to be. Because of the beauty of that game, and because of the atmosphere that they created, and that limiting of us being able to communicate in the traditional sense, when that other person kind of faded away, I was sad.
Yeah.
I was sad to see them go, because we had just experienced this intense level together. I had no way of saying, hey, thanks for helping me out. I had no way of
contacting or whatever.
Contacting them in any way. Like, I remember going into my recent players list on PlayStation, and unless I'm just misremembering this completely, they weren't there. There was nobody listed from Journey. Like, there, I couldn't go and find them that way. So whoever that was, I appreciate you. You know, but building that world and building that visual of, because that's the only way that I knew this other person, just through the visual of their character and what they did to help us complete this.
All right.
But that was enough, and what they had built and everything, that I felt this gaming connection with that other player. And that will stick in my mind for a very long time. Personally, Metal Gear Solid 4 is still one of the best looking games. And that came out on PlayStation 3. You know, the fact that...
I tried, guys. I tried to make him not talk about Metal Gear Solid.
That came out in 2008. And I would challenge a lot of people to find other PS3 games from around that time that still hold up graphically as much as Metal Gear Solid 4 does.
Yeah. That's why, again, I also pick Dark Souls and Bloodborne games, yeah. But because those are 10 years old, and you launch them today, you probably wouldn't even know that they got launched 10 years ago.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
I'm just like, holy shit! You know,
there's, I mean, when did Red Dead 2 come out?
2018.
So
that's close.
You know, 7 years ago, which in video gaming terms, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Technology can change.
Literally, graphics. Change. My 3050 is irrelevant, and that was the hottest graphic card.
Yeah, you know, anybody who knows technology or anybody who follows gaming technology and graphical power and stuff like that knows that 7 years ago is ancient history. Yeah. As far, and that game,
you're just still you just today. Dissed a 7 year old today, right now. I'm just kidding.
Technologically, you are
old. Which makes us ancient.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're all we are is dust in the wind.
Yeah, yeah.
Bonus fair. Points to whoever
I got it.
Writes who that song is down in the comments.
Anyways,
but yeah, you know, there's those games definitely hold up. I of course love the original Mega Man X game. I can still fire that up, and to me, it looks great.
Yeah.
I'll absolutely admit, kind of like you were saying about BioShock and stuff like that, you love that game. You know, you enjoy that game. You probably, if you played it now, you would still enjoy it.
Oh yeah. But
visually, yeah, you know, it's finish not it though. The best.
Yeah. as I mentioned before, that's one of the games that you'll only play once, and that is pretty accurate, because it was just perfect the first time. I mean, I do jump on it. I will say, yeah, Resident Evil 4, remake is better. But yeah. I'm sorry. I'm getting there. Hey, I played it this year, so.
Nice, yeah.
Look, it's a hard game, all right? Mine was easy. You could adjust the difficulty, all right?
That is fair. I should have given you Metal Gear Solid 2. That would have been.
All right, anyways.
Anyway, but like even the original Metal Gear Solid, I still love that game. I'll still play that game and everything. The graphics do not hold up.
No.
As much as that hurts my soul.
I mean, the original Resident Evil 4 doesn't hold up. The remake does. I would say graphically the remake is fantastic. But yeah. I go on the original, it still is gorgeous at the time. Is on a GameCube. Good luck pushing any graphics on that game, but good God, Resident Evil 4 did a good job, but obviously doesn't hold up today.
Yeah, you know, and everyone knows who's ever watched any one of these, how much I love Metal Gear Solid, but graphically, it is absolutely lacking.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy VII, I still love that game, but graphically, it's
nothing irrelevant. Now. Yeah.
The cutscenes still look really good, especially thinking about what system they came out on and how old they are and everything, but the in-game, it is anybody, if you don't know, look up the original Final Fantasy VII cutscenes versus the gameplay, and you'll understand what I mean if you've never seen that comparison. They are starkly different, and like I said, the cutscenes definitely still look better than the gameplay graphics do, but like the gameplay graphics, great at the time, fun at the time, really exploring that 3D modeling as the first 3D Final Fantasy game, and you know it doesn't really hold up. Final Fantasy VIII holds up a little bit better. Final Fantasy IX I still think looks really good, but they went with a different art style with that one. So that one holds up a little bit better, but it's still, you can tell it's still dated for sure. But yeah, obviously the more modern Final Fantasy games, in my opinion, look gorgeous. Look at Final Fantasy 16. Absolutely breathtaking. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth and Remake both look stunning because we have the technology. Like we were talking about with a 7-year-old game, technologically speaking. You know, those games are much older than 7 years, and having the remakes of them, we have a lot better technology to make those now. I'm just trying to look up one thing really fast. But like, where are they gonna go with this? Nope. Oh, that's not the list I wanted. Okay, never mind on that.
Okay.
But yeah, n nostalgia definitely holds those games in a different place than they do, technologically speaking. Now, I think we are very much at a point where, you know, 20 years from now, we're not going to look back at Red Dead, and I don't think we're going to say, oh, that game looks horrible.
Yeah, that's
Who
not going to
knows where
happen
graphics are going to
anytime
be
soon.
in? Yeah, who knows where graphics are going to be in 20 years from now? But the difference between Red Dead 20 years from now is a lot different
Well, first I
than the
gotta do
difference.
GTA 6, Grand Theft Auto 6, and then
True,
not
true.
just
You know,
it.
you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
So it's gonna be a hot minute. But yeah, you know.
So Final Fantasy VII came out in 97.
Yeah,
So
that
we
makes
are
sense.
almost to that, one of those big milestones. And if you take, you know, that timeline, if you take 30 years, you know, in 2 years, that game will be 30 years. Oh gosh. Oh, my back. Just
Yeah.
thinking about that.
Say, I got you
Holy
old
cow.
twice today. No.
30 years. You know, 2 years from now, that game will be 30 years old.
That's crazy.
The fact that 30 years from that point
Yeah.
in the year 2057, you know, there's going to be, there's definitely going to be better graphics, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But the gap between those two, I don't foresee how, to the best of my knowledge, you can't make things look more realistic than real life.
Yeah.
You know,
Sorry. Yeah, that's fair.
you can make fantasy worlds and you can make those look spectacular or something like that. But you can't make this cardboard box look any more realistic than making this cardboard box.
Yeah.
And going back really quick, Metal Gear Solid 2, that's a similar thing with the little details that were put into that game. There are a lot of things that look very realistic
Yeah.
and still do in modern touch-ups to those games, like the Master Collection, the HD Collection. They have put a fresh coat of paint on those games, so they look even better. But even going back to when they were released, they still looked good at the time. But if you look at them now on original hardware, yeah, it's a little, it's vastly different than it is. So, you know, 30 years from now, can we make a cardboard box look better than a cardboard box does in real life? I can't answer that question, but at least my brain can't figure out logically how you could do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the having Final Fantasy VII remake compared to almost 30-year-old Final Fantasy VII is going to be a much bigger gap technologically than Final Fantasy remake compared to whatever game, you know, whatever Final Fantasy game made 30 years from now. That's going to be a much closer comparison.
Right.
So yeah, again, games don't have to be graphically intensive to be good, but it can help. Like you
Yeah.
said, you mentioned quite a few indie games, and I've played quite a few indie games that look incredible. You know, I completely agree with you with Don't Starve. That game, I've said it 1,000 times on this podcast alone and elsewhere, that I got it for free. I figure I'll check it out. it looks great, it plays great, and it still holds up. You know, that, like you said, hand-drawn style absolutely still holds up today.
Can't be that.
So, yeah, I mean, it's, I love realism in games for certain things. I don't want that for everything.
No.
Like, it definitely works for some things. GTA, a truck simulator. If I'm playing like a Battlefield game or something, I would like that game to look as realistic as possible.
Yeah.
You know, just because that's the environment that they're going for.
I mean, even the one you just suggested, the beginning of this podcast, that looks relatively realistic.
Oh my goodness. Ooh. Oh yeah.
You're like, just wait, Scouter.
I mean, yeah, just wait for it, buddy. But like something like Backyard Baseball. If you made Backyard Baseball with realistic players and stuff.
Well, it's definitely not fun.
You just have another baseball game.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I love MLB The Show, and it looks incredible, except for the crowd.
Yeah, it's pretty much in any game.
Every time. But yeah, they're not focused on the crowd. But like, if I want a realistic-looking baseball game, if I want a realistic-looking football game, realistic soccer, hockey, things like that, then I'm going to get one of those realistic games.
Yeah.
But yeah. Backyard baseball, backyard football, backyard hockey.
They're cartoony, silly... Like, yeah. Even, you probably saw this with being an LLB fan, is like, Backyard Baseball pulses, like, sometimes, like, real baseball things, and, like, something that just happened recently, where it's like, this, they threw it, and this guy missed the catch, and he threw it the third, he missed the catch, and this guy just basically went all the way home, and he's like, that's basically Backyard Baseball in a nutshell. Oh, yeah. That... just is, yep. So wild all the time that that's what's, it's supposed 100%. To be funny and silly and frustrating playing it, and I think just like the cartoony aspect of it just puts that into, okay, it's supposed to be like this, you know.
Oh yeah. So. Showing my age, anybody who played NFL Blitz or MLB Slugfest or NHL Hits, those games over the top.
Yeah.
And your players looked, you know, extra muscly and bulky and weird looking. I don't want that style of game to look realistic. I want it to be over the top and
silly,
ridiculous looking and silly, and just have fun with it. And they did a good job with that.
Yeah.
I don't want James Bond GoldenEye 007 to look hyper realistic.
No.
GoldenEye Source looks great, but it still holds a lot of that N64
original 460 original 64, yeah.
Exactly. And that's what I want. I don't want Donkey Kong Country to have the most
realistic monkey. Yeah.
You know, I don't want to play Mario Kart and have, I don't want Mario Kart to look like Gran Turismo 7. I want Mario Kart to look like Mario Kart.
Exactly.
And it looks great like that.
Fair.
So, yeah, I want to play a survival game that looks realistic, I'll play something more akin to, like, Rust or even, in a way, The Forest or something. I don't want that in Don't Starve.
Yeah.
I don't want Don't Starve to look like The Forest. You know, yeah. I want those to be separate. They're good games in their own spaces and in their own graphical world, but I don't need them to look the same. So
yeah.
I will step off my
that's ranting. Fine. That's good. Perfect timing.
Box,
no, great. Yeah, no, they're really all good, and it's really hard to pick and choose, but like, that's why I'm like running down. I'm like, man, what are these? What are my favorite ones anymore? But no, like, you know, it you don't realize it until you actually like think about it. Really, it's just like probably at the time you're like, yeah, wow, this is great. But no, you're playing, like, obviously after you play, you kind of already forgotten because you're immense in that moment in time. And now you already forgot. So it's like even hard. So
real quick, I had one that I was thinking of
That's
when you
fine.
were listing yours, and but Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past
Oh, yeah.
for Super Nintendo.
Still.
That game still holds up today graphically because
Yeah.
it's not super intensive. It didn't
Still good.
age
Yeah.
in the way that some other games do, like you said about looking at an apple in an older game. That's a small detail, but
Oh, it's really 10 years old.
but it
Sorry.
very much can look, it can kind of break that immersion where, yeah, if you
Yeah.
look at it from afar, it looks like an apple. You get up close, it's three red pixels. Legend of Zelda, or specifically A Link to the Past, it still looks like A Link to the Past.
Yeah.
The hearts still look like hearts. The pots still look like pots. The sword still looks like a sword. It's not, yes, we have modern iterations that have better technological advances that look, I don't even want to say necessarily more realistic because those games aren't going for realism, but they look more lifelike. They look more fluid and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And those look great. But Link to the Past is still Link to the Past. To me, it doesn't draw from the game itself just because there's other Zelda games that look visually more appealing or look visually more. I don't even want to say appealing. Let me rephrase that. They look more visually advanced. I think that's a fair assessment of them. But yeah, no, I wanted to make sure I got A
Yeah,
Link to the
that's fine.
Past in there because that game is fantastic.
There. No, it's good. No worries. But yes, we're running out of time. We ran out of time,
Yes, yes,
but
yes, yes.
please, if you like to, please comment below of what games you like, or if you want us to talk about a certain topic, great, because I run out of ideas and I gotta dig up some ideas. So please comment below. But yes, go on.
I was just gonna say, and what was the first game that you looked at and you went, wow, this game looks really good?
Yeah, Don't
What was
Starve.
the first game that you looked at? If it was Don't Starve, let us know. But yeah, what was the first game where you kind of looked at it and you realized, oh, video games are art,
Yeah,
you know? So just
exactly.
let us know.
Check out Beskar Snake, because for the love of Pete, he does not have to be here. So at least check him out on Twitter. Look, I even put little things below us so you could don't have to remember, but Beskar Snake on Twitch and then Smoke and Ace on Twitter. And it's right there. Yeah, point there. Perfect. And
Right
then
there,
check
not
me
there.
out. I'm there.
Yes, check. Yes,
And then
not there.
and it also this podcast is on Spotify. So if you want to listen to us on Spotify without using YouTube, you can do that. If you want to see our faces and look at Jabberwocky, he's somewhere over there. Oh, he meowed when I pointed to him. He's over there. If you want to see
Link his Twitch channel.
Jabberwocky, I wish.
Why have you not made one? Shame.
But yeah, I check us all out. I really appreciate. Next month will be fun too, hopefully. But we got a special gift in store if it works out.
Whoop.
All right. Thank you all for listening and watching,
Yes, thank
and I'll
you.
see you next time. Bye.